look at it and you think you got the ball at the 1 yard line, you run, you do something on first down, didn't work. You do something on second down, didn't work. You do something on third down, didn't work. What on earth makes you think something good's going to happen on fourth down? All right, I'll just make it simple for you. All right.
I'm with him there. That was a human moment.
Yeah, I had a couple people emailing me, you know, my dad's texting. He's like, why aren't they? I said, are you watching this offense?
Hey, how about Julius Peppers close an angle on a 22-year-old?
One of the all-time greats.
Oh, no doubt.
One of the absolute G-O-A-Ts.
All right, so let's do this here because we've got about 30 seconds. The five greatest defensive players that you've ever witnessed. For me, it would be...
On the Bears or at all?
In NFL history, for you, that you watched. So, you know, when you started watching football to right now. I didn't get a chance to see Dan Hampton in his heyday.
Peak value... But or career value.
I got Ray and Ed in that mix.
Dick Butka.
Lawrence Taylor.
I'm asking peak value or
whatever
career
you want to
value.
Do with it, Dan. We got
like,
20
like
seconds.
Like a guy like Javon Kearse had a couple of great years of doing things that nobody else was doing.
Right.
And then got hurt.
Right,
but couldn't sustain it.
Right.
So that was like a wow defensive player for me.
All right, now we got 10 seconds.
Urlacher's on my list.
Brian Urlacher.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Prime time?
Yeah, Dion there.
This will piss Jason off, but Polamalu for me.
Well, he's safety say out, man. There's so many things that he just missed out there.
So many things that he did.
I know, you're right.
Peak Darrell Revis?
Yeah. Darrell wasn't as sexy, though, because Darrell just nudged your ass out of bounds for four quarters, and then you went home without catches.
Yeah, but the key was you went home without catches.
No, I got you. Julius Peppers, man. Julius Peppers is as dominant a defensive lineman. Reggie White, I mean, we can't. Not do this without Reggie White.
Well, and you know,
Julius, the size speed combination, we won't see many dudes, if any dudes, like him ever again.
And Hampton's on my list.
Of course. Just I didn't get a chance to see Hampton during his heyday.
Whatever
I saw
position.
Hampton after all the knee surgeries.
Tackle, end, you name it.
One of the greats of all time.
Yep. So I want to get to Jason Goff, offensive coordinator. He had a thought that I think deserves a little bit more oxygen.
And I also want to get to the Super Bowl halftime show announcement. At some point, things will have to be talked about that I know aren't comfortable for people. So if you are easily scared away or if you're a little touchy and sensitive on this Monday afternoon, I'm right here for you this hour on 670 The Score.
And then there was Chicago's Dan Hampton, the manimal.
The Bears beat the Panthers. Keep it here as we recap the win, Mitch Trubisky's performance, and take a look at their next matchup with the Saints on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR in HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. Where do you expect to sit at a professional sporting event for $30? Standing room, can't even get in? How about center ice at a Chicago Wolves game? Be there Saturday night for Superhero Night presented by Marvel Universe Live. Well, the Bears won two straight for the first time since 2015 with yesterday's 17-3 win over Carolina. Head coach John Fox said today he's pleased with the play of the defense and that the offense is still evolving.
We're a work in progress. You know, I think a lot was made of the receiver position. I think we're learning more and more about those guys each week. You know, we made a change of quarterback 3 weeks ago. Had a couple O-line injuries we've kind of weathered. I think we were close in the run game yesterday.
Next up for the Bears, New Orleans in week 8. Then they head into the bye week. Meanwhile, injuries continue to be a huge issue for the NFL. A bunch of big names going down this week. Cardinals' Carson Palmer broke his left arm. Miami's quarterback Jay Cutler has a chest injury. He left the game. The Browns' Joe Thomas injured his tricep. He's done for the year. Ian Rappaport now reporting that the Saints will be without offensive lineman Larry Warford for several weeks with an abdominal injury. Game 1 of the World Series between the Dodgers and Astros tomorrow night in L.A. Meanwhile, closer to home, Cubs assistant hitting coach Eric Hinsky is left to take over as the hitting coach for the Angels. Bench coach Davey Martinez will interview for the Nationals job. In soccer, the Fire host the Red Bulls Wednesday night at Toyota Park in the knockout round of the MLS postseason. Blackhawks play in Vegas tomorrow night. The Bulls play in Cleveland. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks, the official banks of the Chicago Cubs. And want a job with great pay, up to $125 in weekly bonuses and up to $25,000 in tuition assistance? Join UPS as a part-time package handler in Hodgkins, Gary, or East Chicago. Apply now at upsjobs.com. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the number one ranked sports station in Chicago. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Lake Forest Graduate School. Visit lakeforestmba.edu for their upcoming open house.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
We're a work in progress. You know, I think a lot was made of the receiver position. I think we're learning more and more about those guys each week. You know, we made a change of quarterback 3 weeks ago. Had a couple O-line injuries we've kind of weathered. I think we were close in the run game yesterday.
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bernstein and Goff Show here on 670 The Score, 670thescore.com, and watch 670thescore.com. You can holler at us also on Facebook Live. You can chat with us. You can share it. You can like it. The live video stream is brought to you by American Needle. Be sure to check them out at AmericanNeedle.com. We've been talking to you about Bears Victory Monday. The Bears have won two games in a row. The defense is taking the ball away from the other offense, and John Fox is taking the ball away from his quarterback, while Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen and Zach Miller is all they need to scrape together a couple of points here and there. What I was thinking was, and when we were talking off the air about, at some point, you're going to have to play Tariq Cohen at slot wide receiver more than the five or six plays that he got yesterday.
Just out of necessity.
Just out of necessity for a playmaker out there, somebody who can, you know, seemingly run a route and catch a ball every once in a while. And I'd be interested to see how Darrell Loggins takes it to the next level, maybe putting three running backs out there at a time, where you're going to have to designate as a defense who you're going to put a linebacker on. Now, when you say that, that means is Benny Cunningham or somebody else going to get those carries or those looks outside of Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen? You're going to have to make everything available. But if I'm in sub package all the time and I think that I'm going to stop the run with the sub package that's out there, that's not going to happen. This interior three for the Bears has done a good job at controlling the line of the point of attack.
I like that idea. I like putting it on film too, because when you start seeing, okay, what personnel do they have out there, and it gives you flexibility when they've got to figure out which running back is where. Move the tight end around a little bit. Right.
You're going to throw a safety on him. You're going to throw a linebacker on him. And if you're going to allocate a corner to him, that means that somebody, Tanner Gentry or McBride or any of those, Josh Bellamy, somebody. If you're going to put a linebacker on somebody, yeah, he did it too with the rolling punt. Did you see that yesterday where he did like the walk up to the punt where he downed the punt? I'm like, oh, Josh Bellamy is always going to Josh Bellamy. But if you're going to put a linebacker on one of those guys, because you're allocating a corner, or a safety to Tariq Cohen, because you've sent three guys out there that all play running back, but one of them is going to play the wideout. And the offshoot of that as well is you're going to have to put Jordan Howard out there at one point or another just to give him a look. Not to throw him the football, but just to keep people honest. Like, yeah, every time Jordan Howard is back there, he's not just going to be in the backfield. So I like to see where this goes from here if I'm Darrell Loggins.
Listen, you getting all football-y up in there. Built Ford Tough Bears Monday is brought to you by your local Ford store. This is Perry in Lansing on The Score.
Hello.
Hey, Perry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I can't believe that you guys were talking about best five defensive players that you've seen.
In my lifetime. Yeah. You mentioned Dan Hampton.
Yeah, well, you didn't mention Richard Dent.
Because he's not on my list.
And you didn't mention Mike Singletary.
Oh, definitely not on my list.
You think Lawrence Taylor? Sack machine. You think Lawrence Taylor wasn't a better player than Richard Dent and Mike Singletary? Because
No.
You think they're better than Lawrence?
I think that they're all in the same caliber.
No. Lawrence Taylor actually changed the game.
Easy now, Perry. No.
Lawrence Taylor?
Yes.
You think that Richard Dent is on the level of Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah, I would think so.
Why?
What?
Absolutely. Why, bro?
Because no.
Richard Dent was the MVP, okay?
Of the Super Bowl, of a game. Lawrence Taylor was the Defensive Player of the Year multiple times, and I believe he didn't win league MVP, because I don't want to go out too far, but Lawrence Taylor Bill Walsh came up with a scheme because of Lawrence Taylor.
Come on, that's you know that's not true, Perry.
Well, I tell you what,
I don't think any Bears fan, I don't care how true blue a Bears fan you are, would say that Richard Dent was a better football player than Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, I kind of think so.
Why?
I still think so.
Why?
Because he was in. Richard Dent was intimidating. I mean, he was the colonel.
Whoa. You're going to use as a criterion intimidation factor. By the way, Jason Goff just walked out of the studio after that. You're going to use intimidation factor and then still take Dent over Lawrence freaking Taylor?
I think they're all in the same bag.
No, don't back off of it now. No.
This is why we can't have nice things, Perry.
This is why we can't have conversation and talk about things on a common level.
No.
There's nothing in you, brother, that believes. There's nothing in you, Perry. There's nothing in you that believes that Richard Dent is a better football player, was a better football player than Lawrence Taylor. Come on, Perry.
I'm not trying to diss Lawrence because he was one hell of a
It's not about dissing anybody. It's about
having a correct opinion.
Perry, how old a man are you?
I'm 55.
Perry, you are 19 years older than me, so that means you lived through all of Lawrence Taylor's greatness. My dad, when he came to this country, his favorite athlete, when he moved to New York, the first thing he was introduced to was Giants football and Lawrence Taylor. So that's how I was introduced to it. Like, Lawrence Taylor was God on every level. And then I actually got to see him play at the end of his career when he was, like, slow and fat Lawrence Taylor and still making plays. Perry, come on, man. You sound like a man who is reasonable enough. We're not even going to throw Mike Singletary in this thing. You cannot believe that Lawrence Taylor was not a better player than Richard Dent. He was the 1986 NFL MVP. He was a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, an eight-time first-team All-Pro. Not Pro Bowler, All-Pro. And he had 20.5 sacks in 1986 as well that set the mark for the time.
And then they had to change the rules about where offensive linemen could line up.
Yes! He actually, that's why when people talk this J.J. Watt stuff, and say, oh, he's a game changer. No. He's a hell of a player, terrific player, but an actual game changer was Lawrence Taylor.
Okay. All right. Well, let me say this before I get off of here.
All right.
I listen to you guys all the time. I love your show.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
You're wrong, though.
Thank you, Perry.
Come on, Perry. Come on. I don't care how big a Bears fan you are. That's just not right.
Right.
It's just not right.
And the truth is,
Richard Dent is a nice enough dude. I mean, you know, when he's not going 120 in the Range Rover down the freeway. Remember when he got in trouble for racing? How do you go that fast in an SUV, Richard? Like, where were you on your way to?
And for people who didn't really watch or are too young, that Bears defense, whether it was coordinated by Buddy Ryan or Vince Tobin immediately after that, the best player, most important player 99. On that defense was 99. That was the guy. That was the guy with no knees and wherever they asked him to line up.
All pro at DN and defensive tackle.
Yeah, I mean,
like, we talk about what Khalil Mack did last year. First guy to ever be all pro at linebacker and defensive end in the same year. This dude did it on this across the line, wherever you needed it. Like, that's, you talk about, like, wishing you had a time machine. There are a few athletes like Muhammad Ali, you know, the guys like that. Man, the way people talked about Dan Hampton when I was a child, like, that's one of those careers I wish I can go back to. Was he 82, 81, 80, somewhere around? Was he, what draft was Dan, 80?
Dan was
79,
80? 80, I think.
That's one of those careers I wish I can go back and watch.
Because I remember.
Because that's when the NFL was a lot more brutal, too, in terms of chop blocking and all the foolishness that you can get away with.
Because I remember Dan was a rookie the year of the Thanksgiving Dave Williams overtime kickoff return. It was the Bears went to overtime against the Lions, and it was the first, I want to say it was 80, and it was a kickoff, and Dave Williams took it and ran it in for a touchdown. And the reason I remember Hampton as a part of it, because in the scrum, celebrating the victory, I remember I was up in my parents' bedroom, everybody was getting ready to get dressed for Thanksgiving, and everyone's going crazy, and Hampton, somebody reached over the scrum and grabbed Dan Hampton by the nostrils.
Oh my goodness.
And
the manimal.
And pulled his head back and busted his nose.
Really?
Yes. And of course he ignored it completely.
Of course.
And gushing blood all over the place.
The highest pain tolerance maybe in Chicago sports history.
Right. And it's like he could have like a Wolverine chewing on his foot. He'd be like,
Him and D Rose.
Hurt again. You see that?
Well, they're not giving him his calls, man.
So he turned an ankle because he's not getting called?
Did you see the play?
I didn't.
Greg Monroe came across his chest and yanked him. And it's the thing we just talked about when D was first 2 years in the league where he wasn't getting any calls. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm the only guy in the league that still won't get that call. So, yeah, he hurt his leg on a flagrant foul. But come on, Perry. You're better than that. And I hate saying that to people, but you're a better football fan than that, Perry. Lawrence Taylor?
Come on.
Like, it's an icon. That's a football icon.
Especially all the Tecmo Bowl people are like,
oh my God. Oh, don't get started.
You had to have rules against using him.
Yes! He blocked every extra point.
Right.
And if you ever needed an extra point block, you just put your number, the number one or the number two, whatever controller you were, over Lawrence Taylor, and he'd block it for you from like 15 yards away. Like, that was the dude. On every level, this dude, Lawrence Taylor, was so awesome, he dominated cocaine. That's just unnecessary. We all know about the man's shortcomings. It was the door-to-door crack salesman, remember?
I thought that was Daryl Strawberry.
No, it was Terry and you talked about the door-to-door crack salesman, where the person walked up to his door and tried to sell him some drugs. That was the last time the second to last time
he got turned. Yeah, he was in a motel or something, right?
And somebody knocked on his door and said, hey, you want some crack? And he's like,
why, yes, I do.
Hell yeah, I've had it before.
Yeah.
He's 30 for 30. You talk about a harrowing, and not heroin, but a harrowing, like his kids talked during it. It was like, yo, like the animal that he was on the field. He never turned it off. After the LT, they talked about the earring too, the LT earring. Like once he got the earring, it was party time.
So you got a little bit of everything today on a Bears Monday, Victory Bears Monday on the Bernstein and Goff Show Lawrence on the Taylor. Score. Lawrence. That we have, Jason just fixed the Bears offense for you. We have discussed the quality of the Bears defense. We've also tried to figure out what the back-to-back victories actually mean about where they are relative to being good again. And the answer is we're not really sure because it's kind of hard to tell.
Or what they mean or how you feel about it.
No.
I had a blast watching that game.
Yes, that's the thing. Meatball me.
I had a blast.
Meatball Bernstein had an awesome day. And it's like, look at that. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. You know, it's fun.
Leonard flying around.
They're killing guys.
Akeem Hicks.
Everybody. I mean, everybody had one. Everybody got a shot at somebody.
Akeem's just fat enough to enjoy, too. Like, he sticks out for kids. You know who kids, like the kids that love to watch Joakim
like
Noah
watching
and his
Staley
hair?
Out there.
Yeah, Akeem's just got just enough of a belly to make you, like he gets that big guy love. There's certain big guys in the NFL, you're like, dude, that guy's 320 pounds and it's all muscle. He's got a six pack, you know, as far as his abs are concerned, probably got a six pack in the car as well. Akeem's got enough of that jiggle to him that you're like, that's a big dude that's getting it done right there. Akeem is balling.
He's throwing people around. Yeah. He's ragdolling guys.
Yeah, he's a damn good player. Ryan Pace found some gems. You know, whether it be the drafting of Eddie Jackson, you look at this defense. Ryan Pace has put some things together with Vic Fangio's vision in mind.
Let's see how it looks against Drew Brees before
this
we go putting these guys in a Hall of Fame.
Very true. It's a tough place to play.
A segment brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at Rite Aid Pharmacy or TheraWorksRelief.com. Plenty more to come. Rich Campbell is going to join us just after 5. We'll get his take on the Bears. Also, some Cubs news out there. Eric Hinsky is moving on from his position as assistant hitting coach to take the top hitting coach job in Los Angeles for the Angels. And so there's some openings that the Cubs are looking to fill right now. They need a pitching coach. I think they have their pitching coach. And if they want to fill the assistant hitting coach, they can. So we'll see.
And I also want to get into the Super Bowl halftime entertainment.
Yeah, let's
that
do
was
that
announced.
Next.
Yeah, let's do that right here on 670 The Score.
Eddie Jackson's got the 40 of the Panthers, and he's going to go again. It is a touchdown, Bears.
Spiegel and Parkins talked to Bears safety Eddie Jackson after his big game.
First player in NFL history with two defensive touchdowns of over 75 yards.
That's one of the things that I love a lot about safety, that you're able to make more plays and break on more balls, especially tips and overthrows. That's what I like most about it.
Hear the entire Spiegel and Parkins interview with Eddie Jackson at 670thescore.com.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Stay ahead of the game. Find an agent at farmers.com. You're not supposed to reinvent yourself at Notre Dame, and you never find the Fighting Irish flying under the radar, except Saturday night proved two things. Brian Kelly found a way to rebuild his program on the fly, and the college football world was sleeping on Notre Dame. But not anymore. Not after the Irish turned USC inside out in prime time with a 49-14 beatdown that wasn't even that close. Brian Kelly tore his program down to the studs, lived to talk about it, and now the Irish have the inside track for a playoff spot if they can keep this thing rolling. And why wouldn't they? The Irish pull maybe the biggest shocker of the weekend, taking the Trojans to the woodshed, and Brian Kelly brought Notre Dame back from the dead. I'm Jim Rome.